Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and once again, we're so glad that you're here with us tonight on this week's version of Raising Expectations. And, you know, it's our prayer that we encourage and excite and make you awful glad to be part of this program and your expectations get raised. So we're in our new season. We started here in December, and week two, December 14th, we want to talk tonight about, are you ready for this? We want to talk about the fact that you can't steal Christmas or forget Christmas, no matter how secular or however you want to say it, the world becomes. Because it's those endearing moments, those family times, those exciting events. Some of them we want to remember. Some of them we laughingly remember. Some of them we may be slightly embarrassed, but they're wonderful memories all the way from childhood through our children through this age. So we're going to talk about great things tonight. But just before we do, I want to make sure, as always, you know our family, because our family is your family here on Raising Expectations. So Dr. Paul Hall can't be with us tonight, but he sends you his best and looks forward to being with us again next week. He's a theologian, retired pastor, and a really great guy. You'll like him. And Commander Rob Hansen and his wife, Nancy, that's our Arizona connection. And he is a retired pilot, a Top Gun fighter pilot of an F-14 Tomcat. And one of these days, we're really going to excite you, because while we're filming this, we're going to do a flyover by Rob. It's going to be really neat. You're going to like this. So in any event, we're so glad that he and his wife, Nancy, are part of our team, because they just make the family fun. And then we also have Stephanie and Dr. Craig Thayer. Once again, you never meet any finer people on the face of God's green earth than the people I'm sharing with you now. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach, and you heard them last week. We're going to have a lot more about the things they have to say, because I felt healthier all week. I don't know about all of you, but except for the fudge, I did it with guilt, but the fudge was so good for Christmas time. So other than that, amen, everybody. So, and Craig is a special surgeon and trauma surgeon in a major hospital here. If there's a problem, they go to Craig. And as we get to know him, if we ever had a problem in our life, he's the man we'd like to go to also, because he's there for us. Now, having said that, as we launch into this tonight, may I share something with you from my heart on behalf of the whole team that's going to take over here in just a few minutes and share. Our program, as you probably know, is what they call totally listener supported. That means all of you who so graciously tune us in and follow us, it's your donations to the program that keep us going. And you support the great, wonderful guys that work with us at BBS Radio Worldwide Network. And there's no finer than these guys that help us each week. So we just want you to know that you can go to our website. And if you go to the website, BBSradio.com/raising expectations, you'll find, you'll find a mugshot there, but just north of it, you'll find a donation button. And it's PayPal, and it's encrypted, and it's totally safe. And there's a special blessing, because if you can give a donation, it helps us keep coming to you week after week, and it blesses us too. And we thank you in advance for giving us that blessing. So think about that. By the way, being a part of our family coming up here this next month, beginning in January, something great. If you're a donation giver and helping us with our program, we're going to have something special for you each week. We're going to work on this. It's coming up right now. Every month, there'll be a monthly article. Now, in January, Commander Rob is going to do an article for you called The Death of Journalism in America Today. And it's going to be very exciting and very factual because he is a fact checker. Real facts, not fake facts. You're going to get a real story as he shares this with you. He shares with us. We have wonderful conversations, all of us. So that will be coming. Each month, there'll be another article coming from you. I'm hoping to get Stephanie and Craig to do one in the Love Month, which is, of course, February, and we'll be we'll have the Love Boat theme in the background. I like this a lot. But they'll be sharing with you some wonderful things in their article, and also we're going to give the Raising Expectation a newsletter. I hate to say newsletter; that's kind of old, like maybe we are. But in any event, it's going to be a great note that comes out to you, and it'll be the Raising Expectation something cool. It's coming, and you'll get the schedule and a little bit about who the speakers are that are coming. So here's the deal. If you'll send a donation in to where we said on our website, hit the donation button, we will send to you all the information that we just shared with you, and you'll get the special article, and you'll get our schedule for the month. There'll be more things coming from that later. Oh, it's going to be exciting. You don't want to miss out because we are family. Okay, rather than breaking into the song We Are Family right now, I think I've covered that pretty well. So I think I'll move ahead right now. Yeah, I can feel it. Can you feel it? Oh, that's right. We can't dance on here. But in any event, we're going to move ahead right now. We kind of drew straws, and so I'm supposed to share the first story. So thinking about Christmas. Now, if you would you think with us for a few minutes? Something from your life, maybe when you were a child or when your kids were growing or maybe your mom and dad or anything in your family that you could think about and be thinking about this as we share. I ran this by some of my family, ran it by my daughter and my son, and they begin to go back and share things. When I was at the neighborhood church as the single adult pastor in Castro Valley, California, the Bay Area, they had a huge Christmas pageant every year that was actually opened by Paul Harvey way back when. It was Page 3. You remember Page 2. But anyway, Page 3. And we had huge sets. It was incredible. The church was built like a theater, 10-story drafts, 8 scrims back. And the guy who did this was from the San Francisco Opera, painted all the sets. It was amazing. And somehow back in those days, when I used to be a singer and I had come off from singing in clubs and other things when God spoke to me that way, I ended up being Jesus, you know, at Easter. And then at Christmas time, I got to be Joseph. So the orchestra was in the pit. The stage was shut. The lights go dim. Dr. Bieleg, our senior pastor, gave a message about the story, the beginning of it. All of a sudden, as it got quiet, I came in on the real donkey. I had Mary behind me. Heather Victor sang. She was an incredible singer, soprano. She was behind me, and she was Mary, of course. I was Joseph. I bet you could have guessed that. But anyway, as I was coming in with the donkey, I pulled the donkey along. We came down the side. I walked up the stairs behind the orchestra. And as I made my way across, trying to look like Joseph, seeing the stars, listening to the sound, and the curtains were opening, and a huge set of the city with all the people out there, man, animals and everything all over the place. I was just about to sing the song, No Room, No Room for Him, No Room for Him, Just Other Things, No Room for Jesus in the World Today. And as I came in with the donkey, I heard a sound and sensed the sensation at just the same time. For in my sandals, I stepped in what the camel had left. It was warm. The whole orchestra starts laughing. A lot of my single adults, I was a single adult pastor, they're playing the trombones. The levers are going up and down on the trombones. They're trying to hold it. And did I say that discreetly, Stephanie? Was that okay? But anyway, at that point, I just kept on walking. There were new sound effects from that point. It made a whole new effect. So Dr. Bielig had to share that for the whole month on that. And boy, did I make sure that camel was taken care of before he came in ahead of me from then on. But in any event, my kids still remember it. They still laugh about it. And they basically forgot the Christmas story. Remember Daddy's misfortune of watch where you step. That was on each Christmas card. Anyway, that's enough for me. I've said plenty. That was a fun time. But you know what? It reminded me of Christmas, the family, the love. The story of the manger. You're going to hear more about that next week. It was an exciting time, and my family still laughs. So when I think of Christmas, I'm reminded of my children, my church, my friends, the friends I have today. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. Okay, guys, I don't have my sandals on tonight, so we're good. Somebody else share.
That was a really crappy story.
Yeah. You really stepped in it, Joe.
Yeah, that's good.
Take one for the team.
Only blazing poop is funny, I have to tell you.
It's funny. Junior high, right, Stephanie? Junior high,
You know, plus it's kind of realistic because a couple thousand years ago, obviously that would have happened anyway and probably did. And it wasn't written in the New Testament anywhere, but we can sort of imply that maybe somebody stepped in something somewhere along the way. Maybe even the three wise men, because they had camels with them.
Yeah,
so there was like times the load there.
And like me, they were wiser after that, too, where they walked.
We learned from our mistakes.
Oh, my.
It's a good story.
Let's save the show, folks. Somebody else share something.
Well, the Thayers, would you guys like to begin the festivities?
Yeah.
Starting at birth?
I don't know. I don't know that I have any really interesting Christmas stories. There's a couple things that come to mind. One, my family insisted on these. All of our family had to take a photo, and we hated it. And my aunt would make us line up, and it would take 20 minutes, and somebody's not listening, and, you know, she'd run back and forth, and you don't know if the photo's good or not. Now you can tell right away. So she'd take, like, 40 of them, and we all hated it, but we loved the pictures from each year because you could see each photo. So that was one thing I thought about. And then and now we demand that she does it, where we used to hate it. But the other thing was that I went to different grandparents, and for Christmas Eve, it was really laid back. They always ordered pizza. I got to open all the presents before Christmas, which was amazing. And then Christmas Day, I went to the other side of the family, and it was like very proper. I had to be very dressed up, and, you know, we had like china and the whole thing. And so it was really fun because I loved how different they both were. So for me, that was a lot of fun. I didn't step in poop that I recall at Christmas. So.
That's a neat memory. Different kinds, two different Christmases. Yeah.
Very different.
Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Yeah.
I think I would say, I really like the traditional hymns. I think I would say either Hark the Herald Angels Sing or O Come All Ye Faithful.
Mm. Good choice.
I love traditional ones. I used to play, I don't know if I could do it now, but I used to play the piano with my mom a lot, and we would sit and harmonize all the Christmas songs and even in the car. So I love any of the old kind of Christmas songs that you would think of. I really, really like. Yeah.
So is your favorite Christmas food pizza, or do you have a different one?
Yes, it's not ham, it's pizza. And all, well, it was candy. Yeah, any chocolate. Lots of chocolate.
Any chocolate.
I would always buy a 2-pound box of See's candy, and she'd make fudge. She was Irish. So born in Cork and jumped. I've recently gone through a bunch of memory stuff through files and stuff, and she would. Was in Ireland until she was probably about 6 or 7, and then went over to England, and then the war came and they got evacuated the Irish back to Ireland to make tanks and stuff, and then back again to England. So, and then she came over to the States when she was 21 and met my dad and got married, and then they adopted me. So, and my sister who's visiting me as well, Joe. So Christmas has always been really important to me, and I think today I was reminded by, I got this Devo from an Irish guy, Andrew McCourt, and he talked about 1914 and World War One. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but it's I think in my life, Christmas has kind of developed into something similar to this, and it's a thing of hope, right? So in 1914 and World War One, the Germans and the Allied were feet away from each other in trenches, and it was Christmas Eve, and I think the Germans started singing Silent Night, which is probably one of my favorite songs, and in German, and then the English and the Allied sang it in English back, and then when sun rose, the Allies jumped out of a big jump because they were going to shut up. They basically played soccer on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they played games.
Put down their arms and met as humans for a day. So so Christmas has always been that way. You know, it's my mom died when I was 18 and my dad when I was 20. And so Christmas changed in a big way, and I think it's doing that right now. Mm-hmm. So I empathize with people who have lost parents, and grandparents, and kids and stuff, and feel their pain. So it's a big deal when you lose someone that sits around the tree with you. So for me, it was the gathering, the family, the fudge, and the seeds were awesome. I think it was funny. One year I was on my own, single, and I went to See's Candy, and I bought a pound-sized box of my favorite, which is the dark chocolate nougat, and had it filled, which is technically over a pound. But and that's I just took it home, and that's all.
That's awesome.
It was like an honorarium for my mom. So, so I think it's the traditions. And unfortunately, like those traditions are like gatherings. This is probably our biggest social month.
Yeah.
Christmas parties with all sorts of groups.
Have you all carried over any traditions from your own childhood or early adulthood into including the kids that you have today? And what might that tradition or traditions be?
Yeah, it's the stockings, I think, is one. So every year we fly. My sister lives in Hilo, Hawaii, so she hates the cold here. It's California. It is cold in the winter, so I can, but it's like a 40-degree difference for her. So, but the stockings, we have our stockings from when I was a kid. My mom was a big sewer, and so we hang all 20 stockings on the stairwell. And that's one of them.
So my family, you guys will have to tell us your tradition. So I forgot about this, but we are slightly competitive, just a little bit. And they love word games. And I would say English and writing is probably my least skilled subject. And they would play Scrabble or Boggle. Now it's whatever the thing is that comes in the New York Times, and like my aunt sent it to me every week, and it's a competition of who can get the highest, and guess who never gets the highest? Me. And so that becomes a big, we all play games around after, you know. I think that's more important than even the presents. It's just all kind of being together. So I don't know about you guys. Some of your traditions? Have you carried any over yet? Or tell us this?
Not done yet. What is your favorite gift when you were a child? Do you remember?
I easily remember. Do you remember? Okay, so I was 13. We live kind of in the foothills near Tahoe, so this present will make sense soon. And I got nothing under the tree. I am one of two grandchildren. My brother is 10 years younger than me, so like we got spoiled pretty rotten. Nothing under the tree for me. Everybody else gets stuff. And at the very end, they said, "Oh, we need to show you something." And my family had gotten me all ski gear, a brand new snowboard, bindings, like all, because it was really expensive. But I would ski every week as a kid. We lived 45 minutes. And I had that same snowboard until like 4 years ago, and I bought another one. So I really remember that because everybody combined the little bits of money that they had, and it was the first time I got a big gift, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cool. How about you, Tank?
It has to be the 5-speed bike that I got from my parents. Like for me, a Led Zeppelin album from my sister. That was awesome.
Did you put a thing in the spokes?
Oh, yeah. The spokes. Yeah.
Which Led Zeppelin album?
Which Zeppelin album? Do you remember?
Led Zeppelin 2.
Yeah. Oh, 2. Okay.
A lot of love and yeah, all good.
How about you guys?
Okay, Rob.
I don't want to talk.
Yeah, come on, Rob.
No, you start.
Yeah, this is fun.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, we have enough time. My Christmas memories. I guess I should start as a young kid in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where it snowed, and we were living in. Well, we had two houses. One from my age 0 to 9, and then the other from age 9 to 18, I guess. From 0 to 9, I don't remember much other than I think I had a Christmas present that was the Davy Crockett coonskin cap, if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
I don't even know
why. Joel remember that.
Oh, Joel will remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett. I think it's Davy Crockett. One other I did remember was I used to collect Tom Swift books. These were Tom Swift and his atomic airplane or something. It was Tom Swift and Scientist Kid. That there was a whole series like the Hardy Boys where, you know, you could get like 20 to 25 of these books. And I was kind of into the whole Tom Swift science thing back then. My favorite thing, because I've been sort of a train railroad freak my whole life, starting at about age 2, when I would run away to the train tracks about 2.5 blocks away. I did get a Lionel train set for Christmas. It was 027 gauge, which probably means nothing to you guys. It wasn't O or Super O, and that's an important distinction. The 027 gauge had the free rails because the electrical power was in the middle rail, whereas like the O and Super O just had the two rails, like real trains. And I remember I remember a couple things about the trains. One was it was a freight train, and I always preferred passenger trains. So, but I didn't show my disappointment, of course, because I was like 6 or 5 or 40. I can't remember that. And then the other internally disappointing aspect was the engine was an Alco engine, American Locomotive Company engine, which had sort of the squared, rounded front. And I was more of an Electromotive Division EMD F7 and 9 fan, where if you ever look at the old streamliners with like Santa Fe, they look, you know, they're sort of slanted forward and they got the two windows and they look very cool. So I was an EMD fan over the Alco side, but you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. We had railroad companies that made engines.
My dad collected
those. EMD started at General Motors, and then EMD ended up going off on its own. Neither here nor there, I guess. I don't know.
Move along.
Moving right along. So that's one of the reasons.
Do you have a train around the tree now?
No, actually, we never did it around the tree. Although I have trains now that we can put around the tree. But we don't have a tree this year because we have a certain Velociraptor Rottweiler puppy who would destroy everything in sight. So we had to forego the tree. So we've hung ornaments on one of our Southwest wall pieces so that we at least have some semblance of a Christmassy look. And I do have the balsam and fir candle going on in the living room. So at least there's that, smell that is kind of important that we remember. Going back to the childhood again, my dad was like a little kid at Christmas time. He always liked putting tinsel on the tree. And so he would put it real nice and neat. And then as kids, you know, we would take like a handful and throw it on the tree. So it was all just completely, it was like modern art, you know, where they take a bucket of paint and throw it against a canvas. So that's how we look at the tree that we made at home, which was rather weird. But then somehow my dad, I guess, straightened things out or straightened out the tinsel and made it look a heck of a lot better than it would have.
At least he didn't make you take it off like my dad.
You had a stricter dad, I think. I also remember, and this has always been weird, we would open presents on Christmas Eve. And, you know, deep down we're thinking, well, you know, in everybody else's world, Santa would show up in the middle of the night and you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and you've got presents under the tree. So here we are, kids, and we've got presents under the tree on Christmas Eve. Nobody, parents never really gave us a rational reason for this other than, I guess, Santa topped off our tree early while we were, I don't know, in the bathroom or outside playing in the snow. We never had a real reason why this happened, and nobody ever gave us a good explanation. But we didn't care because there were presents, and that was fine. And then part of the other torture that we had to do, I've never been a big singer. I always thought, you know, when I was a little kid, like in second grade, oh, I can't sing because I think it hurts your throat. I made this up, you know. But that's what I thought back in second grade. So my parents made us sing Christmas songs. I had, you know, my sister and two younger brothers, and they'd have us in front of the tree, and they'd make us sing, you know, Jingle Bells and Toccata and Fugue in G minor by Bach and things like that. That's a really downer song, by the way. I never liked that. And, you know, my sister and I, we were talking on the phone today. I was saying, what do you remember from Christmas? Well, she couldn't remember anything either, except singing. And she liked it, and I didn't. So there's that. I also remember the grandmothers on our side of the family. My dad's grandmother was from Denmark, and my mom's mom was from Missouri. And they're totally different countries, of course. My mom's mom would always send us faithfully and every year a fruit cake. Okay.
That's so, a brick.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'd use them for doorstops and stuff like that. But nobody in our family liked them. Nobody in our family ate them. But she would just continue to send the freaking fruitcake, like magic, every single year. And at a certain point, I actually, last year for Christmas, I actually ordered a fruitcake, and I really liked it. But back as a kid, and, well, my dad and his mother-in-law didn't exactly get along well. So part of me is thinking that the grandmother on my mom's side was sending us a fruitcake as punishment, or she's making a statement, or she's trying to bend us to her will, because she was a very strong-willed person. And she was a former high school principal and English teacher. She was very strict. And growing up, not a whole lot of fun. Now, on the other hand, my dad's mom, she was great. And we would actually spend our Christmas Eve, you know, would be at our house. And then Christmas Day, we'd go over to my grandmother Hansen's house, who was right across the big cemetery from where we live. So it was pretty easy to get there. And the things I remember from her, and this is one thing I've continued to this day for several years. I remember the smell of the house when she and an aunt were all cooking. And the biggest thing I remember from the fragrance of the house, which I just love, was, believe it or not, red cabbage. And it was like a Danish, German, Swedish, Norwegian-ish concoction that about 10 years ago, I did some research on online, thank heavens, because I didn't have a recipe. So I had to look online and figure out, well, I got the red cabbage part. Now, what else do you put in it? And, you get stuff like cinnamon, and you get Granny Smith apples and chop them up, and you put some onion in it, and then you gotta, and a bunch of other things, and then you gotta cook it for a few hours overnight, well, the night before. And the smell, I was just getting a whole bunch of flashbacks when I first started this, and I guess I keep getting flashbacks
every
year.
It smells like a candle.
Yeah, it smells
good.
And it just made the house so great. And so the next day you reheat it after putting it in the fridge overnight. But I remember that smell of the red cabbage in the house more so than the turkey or the, well, potatoes don't smell like anything, or the green bean casserole or whatever the heck else people eat on Christmas. But that's one of the traditions that I actually kept for my daughters. And one of them likes it, one of them not so much. Nancy doesn't care for it, but
I like the smell.
Yeah, the smell's good. So great. And it's, I guess, maybe healthy. You wellness people can probably fill us in on whatever's in a red cabbage and some of the spices that go into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It's a very Northern European side dish.
What, Tank?
Oh, yeah.
That's zone defense. Yeah. If it makes you gassy, the cabbage will make you gassy, but that's zone defense.
Maybe it makes runner long all the way. I don't know.
Hey, at our age, you know, we define gassiness, okay? So, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, we get gas when we're eating, I don't know. Well, we won't go that far, I guess.
So, you have to do it with your daughters.
Okay, well, now the other thing was my grandmother on my dad's side, she had bubble lights on her tree. And so I always thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Bubble lights, because, you know, they have different colored water in them and then the lights underneath and then, you plug them in and they heat up and they got these bubbles going. And my grandmother had that. And, you know, for the longest time, I hadn't really remembered it much. And again, until about maybe 10 years ago, all of a sudden I get this big, revelation or epiphany. And I'm thinking, yeah, red cabbage. Yeah, bubble lights. Yeah, I want to bring that back. So I ended up looking online, got a bunch of bubble lights, put them on the trees every year, except for this one because of a Velociraptor dog, as we mentioned earlier. And it's just so magic. And one of the nice things, too, about those things is with both of my daughters being exposed to that, they get to experience kind of the, magic or fragrances or the whole, feel of how Christmas was when we were kids. And that's something that we get to pass on to the next generation. The Grandma Hansen also did an awesome job making cookies, Christmas cookies, Danish Christmas cookies. And they were just, full of, I'm sure, butter and high fat items and sugar and things like that. But they were still awfully good. And I think looking back this would have been about 32 odd years ago. When I was at Miramar, I was fortunately able to be home for Christmas all the time I was there. One thing that we did, we had a house with a little fireplace and gas logs, in Southern California, Poway. And something just came to me the night before when the girls were all in bed. I thought, I could take my flight boots and I could take those red Christmas stockings with the white trim around them and I could kind of stuff them in the boots and then I could stick them into the fireplace to make it look like Santa's, starting to climb back up or down into the house. So I did that. I took my flight boots. I took the red stockings, stuffed them into the boots, took a picture. And then, of course, we'd have the cookies and the carrots for the reindeer. And then we'd always leave and a glass of milk. And we'd always make sure that Santa left a little note. Thanks for the cookies. Rudolph really loved the carrots, that sort of thing. But then when I was able to get the picture and show it to the kids, it's like, look, we just caught Santa trying to, get up into the chimney, and which we didn't have, which is kind of weird. But, that's how the gas fireplace thing works in Southern California. But they didn't know that at the time. And so that was one of the coolest memories I had about let's set this up and make it as realistic as possible. And it seemed to work. And I don't know if my daughters still have that picture or not, but that's one memory I have. And really, the only other memory I have is, I think it was about 2012 when Erica, my oldest daughter, was working in New York City. She and my youngest daughter went there and myself for Christmas. And we all stayed in her, I guess it was one-bedroom apartment, which was kind of tight. But we spent a few days there. We went Christmas shopping. We had a little Christmas tree and in this little apartment. And then, of course, we went to 30 Rock. We saw the big 30 Rock Christmas tree, and we did our ice skating, checking the block and all that. And it was nice and cold and crowded, but that was a lot of fun, too. And then later, of course, Erica ended up moving to L.A. I think the weather's a little better than it was in New York City. I think that's about the only things that I can recall. There was one more. At my grandmother Hansen's house, they made us sing a Danish Christmas song. And all I remember was the words, Dejlig er den himmel blå, which was, I think it was Danish for like, oh, how beautiful the tree or something. And I don't know. My sister knows the tune behind it. But that was another mandatory thing every year. that we had to do. And of course, I had to subject myself to singing torture once again in order to, you know, have dinner. Oh, and the final thing, and this is the best part, was at my grandmother Hansen's house at Christmas, and I think Thanksgiving, and we were, you know, 10, 12, 13 years old, we were able to drink Mogan David wine with our Christmas dinner, and we were underage. And there was another wine that we used, too. It was called Cherry Kiapa. It was a Danish wine that was cherry-based, I guess. And I just remember Mogan David, and we're not even Jewish. You know, we drank Mogan David wine and Cherry Kiapa as kids for our Christmas dinner. And that, I think, covers everything. That's my complete, total, lifetime Christmas dump in a nutshell. You're welcome.
Exciting.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I think what that Danish word was, Rob, was electric passenger train. That was what
yes,
that word was.
Yeah. But only with an electromotive division F7 or 9 electric diesel electric engine. Okay.
Sure,
and it could be an ABBA unit.
Yeah, that was it.
Nancy,
yeah. I looked it up while you were talking. That was it.
I can't hear your stuff more.
I looked it up. That word in that song, word Dutch or Scandinavian word was electric train, but for short is what Rob said.
Yeah. Yeah, it was we're waiting at the station for a train to come by and leave and run away.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. That's what he wants for Christmas, this very specific passenger. She's
yeah. She's blackmailing me.
Okay, I've got like 3 minutes. This is why I wanted Rob to go first.
Okay.
Right. I knew he had a now, big list.
I just have a big list.
Well, you know.
I talked to him.
Yeah, no.
This is New York tradition, right? It's from up from New York. Is that where you grew up, Nancy? Upstate?
Well, yeah, Western New York.
Western New York.
By Buffalo. Okay. Not to be confused with New York City.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's a totally different country.
Yes. Buffalo, where the Bills are.
Yes, where there's a lot of snow.
And they won yesterday over Pittsburgh.
And you have 3 weeks of summer.
Oh, 3 weeks of summer.
Three weeks of summer in Buffalo area.
Oh.
Okay, I got to put my glasses on here because I've got a list.
All right, I'll put my glasses on in honor of you. How's that? Now we'll
all
be
right.
Looking very
okay.
Intellectual.
So, all right. So. You know I'm not a big talker, but I do have some memories here. Okay, my favorite songs. I think my favorite one is Oh Holy Night, is that one. And Little Drummer Boy is another one.
And I had no influence on that one.
No, you didn't. I kind of know the words of that one.
Well, I got the
Pum Pum Pum. When I was a kid, when we were little, we had a little church we went to, a little country church.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I was allowed to be in the choir. And I couldn't sing with a lick, you know, but it was a small church, so they took whoever they could get. So
I bet you sang
one of the fun things was going at Christmas, you know, the Christmas show, and getting to wear the robe and everything and stand up there and sing. And, you know, you might be a little out of tune or not, but, you know.
But you were so angelic.
We're just a bunch of little kids up there having a good time. You know, we have maybe 100 people in the whole audience, but yeah, but it was fun. I did enjoy that. And let's see. My best Christmas present that I remember is I was the youngest of six kids. So as being the youngest of six kids, you get a lot of hand-me-downs and toys and stuff, clothes, this and that. And I had this bicycle that had gone through like four people before me. And my legs were getting a little longer. And you know how they had pedals with the little grips on them, just a regular one. It was a one-speed bicycle. It's your basic bicycle. And when I got it, the pedal was hanging off and your foot was just sat on the bar. So when you pedaled, then the basic pedal that was falling off would hit the ground and go, you know, as you're driving, it, you know.
She's so cute.
Yeah. Anyways, and being six kids, we didn't have a whole lot of money, you know. So you had your what do you want the most? You get one big gift, and your one big gift might consist of a transistor radio, a watch, maybe one of those little old record players, you know, with the little handles there, with the old time. You guys know what I'm talking about, you know.
They may not know what a transistor radio is, though. I mean, that really goes back. Yeah.
Well, if you got your own radio, you don't have to listen to everybody else's.
That's right.
You know, but it was like, or, you know, a makeup mirror or something like that. I wanted a bicycle.
No Barbie dolls or anything?
I had Barbie dolls.
Oh, you had Barbie. Okay.
I had a few Barbie dolls.
Yeah. Well, so did
I. But I was, at this point, I wanted a bicycle.
Okay. Well, and who wouldn't?
But I wanted the banana bike.
Oh, yeah.
Do y'all remember the banana bike?
Yeah, the swing.
The swing.
And they had a banana bike.
What was it called?
Banana bike.
Well, no, it had a name. I don't know, Typhoon or...
No.
Wasn't it?
It just... Really, I all it had
but it
do,
had the banana seat.
It all had to do with look like a banana bike with a big, you know...
I'll have to Google it for the name. I just... Yeah, but
with
I know what
you're bars and everything, the banana bike. So... That Christmas, you know, everybody got their stuff, and I got my underwear, my pajamas, my socks, you know, I got the matching shirt with my older sister and that kind of stuff. And it's like everybody got their watch or transistor radio, their reel to reel or whatever. And it's like, oh, wow.
Their bomb making material, Semtex, fuses. Yeah.
So anyways, everything's all opened up, and I'm just kind of sitting there going, for me. And my dad says, what's that over there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Outside. You know what? He goes, there's something outside there. And by God, there was my purple Schwinn bicycle with a plastic... flowered basket, you know, like weaved basket on top.
Oh, yeah.
I was so, so happy. I cried. I got my bicycle. Nobody else is going to ride it because, you know, it's just my size and everything. But this was December. I had to wait till April to ride this bike, you know, because it's Buffalo area. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but snow.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my absolute best Christmas present, and I really enjoyed that.
That's wonderful. Isn't that great? That's a great story.
Yeah,
but wait, there's more.
Oh, cool. Keep going. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now my worst Christmas was also being the youngest, you know, six kids, and like 3 days before Christmas, guess who comes down with the measles?
Me.
All right, so now we can't go to the grandparents' house. I can't be around the cousins. We all have to stay home. I was like the pariah that year.
And they all loved you for it.
They hated me for it. You know, it's like, oh, no, we all got to stay home.
It's all your fault.
Because my grandparents lived like 3 hours away from us. But my grandparents only lived like, my mom's parents and my dad's parents lived like 20 minutes apart. So we could, you know, go to each place, you know, one day and stuff. And so I have to admit, you know, my one grandparent, my grandma, my mom's mom, my grandfather had passed away before I was born. But mom was one of seven children. We had lots of cousins. We didn't have a lot of presents there, but we had lots of cousins to play with at Christmas time. So, you know, we got stockings there. I mean, she had like 50 stockings up because of everybody, all of the kids and the spouses and everything. But, you know, we had the best times there at Christmas time, just playing with our cousins and getting to see them. And then my other grandparents, there was us six kids. And then my dad's brother only had one child. So there was only seven of us. So we got a little more spoiled there, which was fun and everything. And they used to do a pinata in the basement.
Oh, fun. Wow.
You're not even Hispanic.
I know, but it was so much fun. They put up a pinata, and of course, me being the youngest, you know, I got first swat at it. I could never hit it. I was a little one. I couldn't reach that far. And by the time they did hit it, you've got five larger, older kids jumping in on the candy. So my grandfather would go in there and jump in there with me. Everything he picked up, he would give to me.
He liked you.
Yeah, Grandpa.
Well, because he felt sorry for me. I couldn't get in there, you know. There's just this little kid out there. And also, I have more. Another thing with that, those grandparents with the pinatas, we call them Marco and Papa. One of the special things they did was for each one of us kids, they gave us our own jar of Planters dry roasted peanuts.
Oh, there you go.
And initial them, put your name on them, so nobody else could take those. Mm-hmm. So my bigger brothers couldn't eat my peanuts. You know, we had our own jars. You know, and it's little things like that that stick in your mind, you know, that made things special. Always, always look forward to that more than anything else. You know, they could have given me $50, but if you gave me the Planters jar of peanuts, I was happy. So, and my favorite foods, turkey and my mom's homemade stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're doing the stuffing, yeah. Mm. Good stuff. It's those little things. That's kind of why we use the name You Can't Steal or Forget Christmas, because, you know, you can try to go every direction and everything else about Christmas, but deep down inside, I think of everybody, if you stop and think about it, we've got special things that are deep down inside. I can, you know, we remember with our children, there's so many things we could share, but those were so interesting. It's too bad they didn't have a mask. Then you could have gone to grandma's. They should have passed the mask out in the family. You'd have been able to go. That would have been great.
True. That's true.
But, you know, I just reminded, go ahead.
I'm just glad I didn't have them, you know, get there and get the measles and then made everybody sick.
Sorry, that was it. But it sounds like they made it up with the peanut jar. That's good. That's something for you.
Yes, well, that was another year because we couldn't go that year.
Yeah.
Because I was the bad one.
I know one thing we used to do, and Stephanie, Tank, you got anything you want to share? We've got 3.5 minutes for our wrap.
Okay, so I have a couple more that I thought of. So my grandparents, the ones that would have pizza, they were at a high-end grocery store that was local, and we would get this stuff called alligator skin. We're actually going to try to make it this year. It's like a puff pastry with pecan and brown sugar, and I guess I thought everywhere had it, but it's just this specialty grocery store that still exists in this town. And so that was like the big dessert that they had. But the other thing I was thinking of was as parents. Okay, so when you're a parent, you want to make Christmas really special for your kids, right? You recreate all these things that you did. We do the carrots, the cookies, all the things. One of our kids wanted one of those little kitchen sets. Well, we wait till they go to bed Christmas Eve. What you don't realize is that kitchen set is about 8,000 pieces. And it has to be assembled.
Oh, stuff together.
Yeah.
Been there. Oh.
7 o'clock at midnight. And he looks at me and he's like, we're going to need more wine. I must have stayed up till 3 a.m. building this little kitchen.
You remember the big right. At 7-Eleven?
The 64-ounce
big.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tank.
Yeah. So the another thing was our oldest son, he wanted an electric Jeep, you know, so it's kind of like the Barbie pink car, but it's the electric Jeep. And literally, I filled a 64-ounce cup of tonic ice and gin and put it out in the garage for the rest of the night.
To try to make it work. Goddamn thing.
Well, the fly's alive because that's civilized, right?
Isn't it something when you finally build it? Remember, you finally build it. I did a little kitchen for my girls, and I put a bike together. That was something, Rob. And then I even put a crib together, which my second little daughter fell through on the floor in the middle of the night and it caved in on her like a teepee. But otherwise, yeah, not good. And here's the deal: they always give you extra bolts.
Yeah.
That was so nice of them to give extras.
It's like, right? Okay, what did I forget to do?
That's right.
It's supposed to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, listen, this is so much fun to... Go ahead, Tank. Go ahead.
I said that happens in surgery all the time.
Oh, no.
Not enough bolts.
We got extra parts.
Where did this go?
We'll send to the next guy.
Hey, Rob, aren't you glad that our tank was good at putting together kitchens and bikes and stuff? For now, as a surgeon, I feel better already knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I'm in Arizona.
Yeah.
But and real quick on my end, my favorite Christmas song was written by Mel Torme, the Christmas song Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Interestingly, Mel Torme wrote the biography of Buddy Rich, Traps the Drum Wonder. And you guys know we had Nick Rich on, his grandson, a few months ago. And so now through, 6 degrees of separation, we're all related to Mel Torme now because you met Nick and then Kathy. Oh, and by the way, Kathy lost her mom, Marie, who was Buddy's wife, just over the weekend. She was 97 years old. We sent our condolences. And yeah, that was Nick's grandmother. But she lived a full and active life. And, she was surrounded by the kids and grandkids. So there was a lot of love. Anyway, just going to throw that in. Yep.
That's great. Again, family, Rob. Family.
Yeah.
So special looking back at all that. That's wonderful.
Well, sure.
I'm looking at the time. It gets away. We have such a great time. All of you that are listening tonight, you remember, too, the great things you had with your family. We've all been sharing what they meant to us and others. I remember very quickly sitting around every Christmas reading the Christmas story with my kids.
Oh, the Christmas story, yeah.
In front of the fire, right? I bet we all did, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting down, going through the story, and then learning, letting them read as they got a little older. And my daughter still reminded me of that just the other day. Hey, Dad, you remember when? And she's real young. She's like 44 now. Am I supposed to tell everybody that? I guess not. Sorry, Amy Jo. But anyway, I'm not supposed to. But yeah, those things are very, very special. We've run out of time, folks. We have so much to be thankful for. We want to share about that. Next week, we're going to have Dr. John Maples with us, and we're going to be talking all about Christmas again. He's a pastor from South Africa. Wonderful guy. This time you get to see him. Last time you heard him, this time you get to see him too. It's really going to be great. Mm-hmm. I want to thank our ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my co-host, my brothers and my sister. I really love and appreciate each one of you. This is just spectacular being part of something with you. And all of you listening, tune back in with us again because we're going to look forward to getting you part of our family and sending you the articles and sending you the schedule and everything. Just hit that donation button if you can. And you could say Merry Christmas while you do because we'll know. We'll be listening. We have little.
Hey, Dr. Joe, I just wanted to add, for all the parents out there, do not buy your kids a Red Ryder BB rifle. It'll shoot your eye out, okay?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Just want an important safety tip.
Yeah. All right. Okay, well, on behalf of all of us again, thanks so much. God bless you. We'll be on next week again with a very special edition. We'll be looking at Christmas, actual the Christmas story, the reason for the season, we used to say, and the joy that comes from within that makes all these other things everlasting in our lives. So next week, the reason for the season, we'll be talking. Join us again, 6 o'clock Pacific time. You can follow the timeline all the way across. We've run out of time. But we love you. We appreciate you. We look forward to being with you. Raising Expectations, your family podcast. See you next week. Until then, God bless you and keep you. And we'll talk to you then.
Bye, everybody.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.